Father's Day probably means different things to different people as far as your whatever your experiences are. Touch into that as we start this morning. Father's Day is a time for reflecting upon the meaning and the importance of being good Christian fathers. Some of us have had those kind of fathers, but others have not been so fortunate. We have to face that. So how we view fatherhood, I think, largely depends upon the kind of experiences, whether they've been positive or negative, that we've had with our fathers. And when a man becomes a father himself, his view of fatherhood becomes even more significant. So, you know, what do today's fathers think about being fathers? Well, in Focus on the Family, Pastor Jim Kane reported the June issue of Family Circle magazine contained results from a recent national survey of fathers. I believe it's probably a U.S. survey, but it gives us some interesting results for you to think about. Know that 94% feel building a family is the hardest and most important thing a man can do. 71% say that fatherhood is more demanding than they expected. While 88% say fatherhood is more rewarding. 87% say the rewards of fatherhood trump those of career. And 89% approve of men leaving their fast-track careers to spend more time with family. Another statistic is 90% say that becoming a father made them want to be a better person and role model for their kids. While 75% feel a weight of responsibility now that they didn't feel before. Now, I don't know what your observations are as you see these statistics, but I think according to these stats, a high percentage of fathers view fatherhood as very demanding, yet equally rewarding, difficult, yet most important. And for most fathers, the reward of being fathers is greater than other pursuits in life. Even more revealing is the fact that the majority of fathers desire to be better models and mentors for their children in spite of the, quote, weight of responsibility that they didn't feel prior to their role. I believe that this news is encouraging to us all, since today's fathers seem to have some sense of respect and even admiration for the position they are in. For fatherhood is not to be taken lightly, and fathers do play an integral part in setting the tone and providing the foundation for building a stronger home in the short run and a stronger society in the long run. And why not? Isn't our Heavenly Father the perfect example of what good fatherhood is all about? Agree? Amen. Don't you think our Heavenly Father is the perfect role model? In our text for today, we shall see how our Lord's instructions benefit each one of us in general, because these are spiritual principles for all of us, but fathers in particular. In fact, those of us who've had good Christian fathers can indeed relate to the kind of character they've demonstrated through their application of verses like these. For example, let's turn to the text today. This is taken from John 14, 21 and 23. So let's take our Bibles and turn to this passage. John 14, we're going to look at 21 and then 23. Jesus speaking. And he says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him." And then jump over to 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode with him." You can see from these verses the emphasis Jesus puts on love, doesn't he? The kind of love that referred to in the Greek as agape love. This is the highest form of love presented in the Scriptures as the very divine nature of God. That's why it's the highest. It's God's nature. God is love. According to 1 John 4, 8 and 16. It's what we're to hang God's law and the writings of the prophets on in Matthew 22, 40. And it's the center around which Christianity revolves, as you see in the Scriptures. And then we got the supreme sacrifice of Christ on the cross. We know that was a great show of love, wasn't it? 1 John 4:10. So all these Scriptures that you can look up. This is the kind of love that reaches a higher level, even higher than brotherly love, which is another kind of love, or higher than even the sensual love, which is usually what you see in the tabloids as you get in the checkout counter line. But in fact, if it weren't for agape love, the divine love, no other love of such kind would be possible. Thus, it is an essential element for making parenthood, such as fatherhood, motherhood, childhood, adulthood, neighborhoods, and any other hoods, work at their highest peak of efficiency. And Jesus speaks of the kind of love that is called unconditional. There are no strings attached. Even when human obedience goes awry at times, and maybe others fail us, we know that love remains intact. God doesn't love us any less when we make mistakes. He can only love us more when we submit to His standards and follow Him more closely. Make a note of that. In other words, the degree to which we love is the degree to which He draws nearer to us. This is the type of love which tugs at our Father's heartstrings, and it changes ours too. I now go to this next one. Think back to a popular show that some of us remember back in the 50s, The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. How many of you remember that? How many of you see it? Sometimes they're all on reruns, and you can catch that. Now, when we say Ozzie, we're not talking about Ozzy Osbourne and family. So, rest assured. Different kind of family all together. But you know, you think back in those days of Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, and these were the days before All in the Family, Roseanne, Married with Children, and I think I could say all those other dysfunctional families paraded onto the scenes into our living rooms. This was like Leave It to Beaver, the Donna Reed Show. Oh, and especially, don't forget, Father Knows Best, right? Ozzie and Harriet Nelson displayed the kind of family wholesomeness that seems to have long vanished in our current culture. And it was even reflected in real life. But years after the show aired, one of Ozzie and Harriet's children, David Nelson, he's the guy on the right, far right, David Nelson, recalls this. He says, Rick and I knew our parents cared for us. He says, I remember one night, Dad, Rick, and I were playing basketball out in the yard. I'm not quite sure what prompted my father to say this to us, but he said, you know, you guys can come to us with any problem that you have. Even if you told us that you had killed someone, it wouldn't change our love for you. David said, well, this was a thunderbolt for me. He says, I certainly was not thinking of ever killing anyone. But he used that extreme to tell us that no matter what we did, he and our mother would still love us and care for us. He says, that impressed me. Well, we find that unconditional love of this sort has a reciprocal effect. In other words, children can love their fathers back in spite of their own father's weaknesses and sins. It can help keep balance when applying the command, which is honor your father and mother, Exodus 20, verse 12. Now, in his book, which is called The Heart of a Father, Dr. Ken Canfield stated that he believes there is something in us, a law written in our hearts, that tells us we should honor our father and mother. He points out that it's not only in the Bible, but in all of the world's religions. The ancient Chinese analects advise, surely proper behavior to parent and elder brothers is the tree trunk of goodness. Dr. Canfield adds that we must consciously attempt, first of all, to find the good in our fathers, no matter how badly they seem to have fathered us. He says, to put a spin on Mark Anthony's cry, we have not come to bury our fathers under the dirt of our accusations. We've come to praise them for what we have discovered in them and for what they have given us. What our fathers did right is every bit as important as what they did wrong. Something to think about, isn't it? And then he goes on to say that if, as C.S. Lewis wrote, fatherhood must be at the core of the universe, then disrespect for a father means engaging in some very dangerous vandalism. He says this is true culturally, but also personally. Gordon Dalby writes, we had better teach our sons mercy. A man who curses his father curses his own manhood. Again, something to think about, because I think there are some pearls of wisdom in Dr. Canfield's advice. When we think about our own childhood experiences, we can appreciate the good things our fathers taught us and the benefits of honoring their memory. For what does it say there in Proverbs 4:1? Leave us up on the screen. Why don't we all read this aloud together? Everyone? Hear, O sons, the instructions of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. Boy, those words are really true. And they're wise as well. Wise to follow them. Living near the father's heart means attaining his wisdom too, which includes obeying what he says. Jesus revealed that if we wisely listen to our heavenly father's words, then we will also want to listen to the words of his son. And that we know love is the ingredient that attracts us, draws us to listen and obey. What does Jesus say? He says, if anyone obeys me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him. Now think about what Jesus is saying. The love of the Father will be manifested through the love of Christ, which is manifested in us. That's neat, I think. That regarding this thought, Joseph Parker commented, this is the great law of manifestation. Have I a clear vision of God? Then am I looking steadily at Him with a heart that longs to be pure? Can I not see Him? Then some secret sins may be holding a veil before my eyes. I have changed, not God. When I seek Him, He will be found of me. But if I desire Him not, He will be a God afar off. Fathers, as well as the rest of us here, need to consider this truth, I think, in view of the fact that obedience depends upon the degree of love that we have. Consider it. And the degree of love that we have depends upon the desire we have to be near to the Father's heart. Consider that. That the words of Jesus are what stirs us to gather close to our Father. For Jesus Himself had such a perfect, unique relationship with His Father, which exemplifies complete obedience, complete trust, complete adoration. Wise earthly fathers realize their need to rely on the words of Christ to guide and nourish them in the Father's love. This is particularly true when their children innocently remind them of it. George Turner wrote, my little boy came to me one day, placed his tiny hand in mine and said, Daddy, what is God like? And I said, God is like love and sunshine and all the good things you know. He smiled into my eyes and said, then, Daddy, God must be just like you. I remember how Jesus said that God is like a father, and I had to bow my head in shame that I, a father, was so unlike God. Well, I think that fathers who are man enough to humble themselves and make such a confession as this are able to seek the Heavenly Father's forgiveness, first of all, and then abide in His love. The same principle applies, I think, to all of us. that if we want to improve, then we must confess our sins through Christ. We must seek forgiveness for our sins and then draw near, quote, with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10:22. That according to the Scriptures, Jesus makes His abode in us through a conversion, through confession of His name, as we apply love, obedience, and faith in our Heavenly Father. Now, our Lord promised that we will make our abode with Him. And I appreciate what Andrew Murray once said about this. He said, "The abiding presence of God is the heritage of every child of God. The Father never hides His face from His child. Sin hides it and unbelief hides it. But the Father let His love shine all the day on the face of His children. The sun is shining day and night. Your sun shall never go down. Come and live in the presence of God." And I think that fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, cousins, in-laws, outlaws, no matter who, and everyone in between are able to enjoy the sunshine of God's presence when His abode through Christ is in them. And we are not only at home in this life if our Heavenly Father through His only begotten Son, but not this life only, but especially the home in our hearts that is there and what that means ahead of us in the future. Indeed, God wants to abide in us. He wants to. He's always seeking people who want Him to abide there. And it's like any loving, caring, respectful father, God is continually seeking our hearts to see if we are wholeheartedly seeking Him. Our loving submission to Him is like a beacon. It's like a beacon reaching out to Him where that He can find us and that He'll come to our rescue when in times of desperation and fear and need and so on. In Surprised by Children, Harold Myra writes, "One afternoon my older brother Johnny and I were walking home from school when we suddenly found ourselves surrounded by four older boys we didn't know. Johnny was a good father, but they... Johnny was a good fighter, but they pushed us into a field, threw ropes around us, and shoved us down on the ground. What did we do? We demanded. We didn't do anything to you. Well, they laughed, tying us up, tangling us up together, cinching the knots together. They thoroughly enjoyed themselves, taunting us and pulling on the ropes. Then the bullies left us in the secluded field, just left us trussed up. We yelled at them to free us, but they were soon gone." He says that at first a wave of relief rolled over me. Oh, they're gone. Now we can squirm free. We yanked at the ropes, thinking we could surely get loose somehow, but we couldn't. We strained and strained, feeling panic building as it started to get dark. We lay there as the light slowly vanished. The moon and stars appeared. We wondered how anyone could find us in the dark and how long this could go on. At long last, under the evening sky, we heard our father's voice. He had searched all along the way to school and found us in the field. Father to the rescue. What a fitting way to compare the Father's love to us. That we might be unfairly abused and abandoned. But our Heavenly Father is searching. He's calling out to us. And He will find us. And He will abide in us through His love in Christ. It's always going out looking. When fathers make Jesus and His Father their abode, their own homes, I believe, will be much better off. And it's a matter of the heart and also the Father's heart in us. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." I love that verse. That's a wonderful verse, isn't it? I will be a father to you. You will be sons and daughters to me. Those of us who are in Christ, we are sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. That's so precious. Never take that for granted. A student and minister from India, and I don't know how I pronounce his name exactly. I'll just take a stab at it. It's Kranti Kumar Madida. Madida is the last name. Wrote this timely poem in a sermon called Father Heart of God. Listen to this. He said, "In God I find a father's mind. When I was in need, he did feed. When I shed a tear, he did come near. When I walked in the darkest way, he did offer me a light ray. On my bed when I lay, wonderful words I hear him say. When my pain was much, I did feel his wonderful touch. In God I find a father's mind." With a father's mind and a father's heart, we wish all of our fathers happy Father's Day. Through the name of Jesus, his Son, and our Savior, amen.